Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, perhaps a presidential hopeful and candidate for lieutenant governor. Teresa Benitez-Thompson explains.
And for our guest today, we have George Harris, publisher of the Liberty Watch magazine, interviewing Senator John McCain of Arizona. And joining us today in the studio will be Brian Krolicki, emerging from a bruising primary, where he's going to talk to us about his campaign for lieutenant governor.
And coming up on the Power Pundit panel today, Dale Urquiaga, Frank Robertson, and Martha Gould. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
You learned about our business park last year. Please celebrate our growth this year. We started construction on the new I-80 USA Parkway interchange.
And we're extending the parkway beyond Walmart's distribution center. We're adding rail track. We've added a 2-million-gallon water tank, and we're doubling the capacity of the sewer treatment plant. We're installing Northern Nevada's most advanced fiber-optic communication network.
Welcome to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center,
the largest industrial park in the world, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Just what does Dina Titus vote to tax? Medical devices purchased by Medicare and Medicaid. Rising property and sales taxes, marriage licenses, hunting and fishing licenses, motor vehicle fees, farm equipment and jet fuel. Dina Titus even taxed us on using the county swimming pools. That makes her one of the biggest taxers in Nevada history. Dina taxes, Dina Titus. Either way, she'll raise our taxes.
For more than a decade, the Southern Nevada Water Authority has been helping the community embrace conservation as a way of life. That includes replacing more than 50 million square feet of grass with water-smart landscaping. During the worst drought on record, watering restrictions and tough landscaping codes have reduced the community's water use by billions of gallons, even as thousands of new residents were moving into Nevada. That's smart water management, and that's our promise to Nevada.
Three screens, wireless, broadband, and TV are now coming together. The new AT&T is bringing you all the ways you see your world, all on the most complete and secure network. The new AT&T, your world delivered.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
This segment was brought to you by Liberty Watch Magazine. Welcome back. One is an is.
Senator McCain, thank you for sitting down with us.
Thank you, George. It's nice to be with you.
Senator, tell us what's happening on the national front in regards to Iraq, if you would.
Well, it's tough. We have kind of good news and bad news story over there, and that is that the Army is getting better and they're doing a better job. But unfortunately, the police are not doing as good as they should, and there's an increase in sectarian violence. But we've got to win there. If we set a date for departure, I think it would lead to chaos in the region, and we're going to have to keep fighting there and to bring democracy and freedom to Iraq.
North Korea going to continue to be a problem as it's been?
I think North Korea continues to be a problem. The only country that has any influence on them whatsoever is China. I hope the Chinese will recognize that it's in their interest to bring this nuclear problem with the North Koreans under control. But they've got a very bizarre regime with a huge gulag, and we're going to have to rely on China, not because of China's charity, but because it's not in China's interest to see chaos in the region.
Here in in our own state and actually here in the country, immigration has become a larger and larger mm-hmm. problem. How do you see that that's going to be resolved, and is there going to be a cohesive solution to that problem?
I hope we can sit down and work it out. We all agree that border security is our first and uppermost priority. We have to do what's necessary to seal our borders, particularly in light of post 9/11 environment. But there are many of us, including the president, that believe we need to have some kind of guest worker program. And we have to do something about the 11 to 12 million people who are here. So what we need to do is lower the level of rhetoric, sit down together, and resolve this issue, because the status quo is unacceptable. It's a product of 50 years of failed federal policy, and we need to fix our borders.
Does it concern you that the National Guard is being used at the borders at this time?
No, I think the Guard's doing a good job. I think that it's not overstressing the Guard so much, because a lot of their active duty time is there, but the Guard is overstressed as far as Iraq is concerned, but it's a temporary thing. It's not a permanent thing while we hire enough Border Patrol to get the job done.
In our local state, one of the major things of concern to citizens of the state of Nevada is a nuclear waste dump. Mm-hmm. What's your opinion on the nuclear waste dump and what's going to happen with that, or nuclear policy overall?
I support Yucca Mountain. I think 10,000 years is enough. I think we need to find a place to put nuclear waste, and I would like to also see it reprocessed, by the way, so we wouldn't have to have this storage. We have a facility down in South Carolina that could be put into effect. But look, nuclear power is a way to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Nuclear power has to be part of our effort to eliminate our dependence on foreign oil. Nuclear power is a key and vital element. 80% of the French electricity is generated by nuclear power. If the French can do that, we ought to be able to do it too. And the major, if we won't reprocess, then I'm for Yucca Mountain. But we should be able to just reprocess like the Europeans do.
Last question would be Mexico. The elections that took place, oil, and again with the energy policy. How do you see that shaking out over the next 12 months?
Well, we just had a narrow election in Mexico, and things haven't settled down yet. The guy that lost refuses to accept defeat, but we dodged a bullet there, in my view. Mexico is our nearest neighbor. We've got to have better cooperation on the border. There's too much corruption down there. They know it. We know it. Drug trafficking is done freely down south of our border, and there's no way we can cut them off, so we're going to have to do whatever we can to get better cooperation from the Mexican government on immigration, on drugs, and a number of other issues.
Well, thank you. We thank you for taking the time to spend with us, and thank you for coming to Nevada.
Thank you.
And for Nevada Newsmakers, I'm George Harris.
Brought to you by Liberty Watch Magazine.
For a videotape copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The tapes are $20 each, including shipping.
Four issues deep and going strong, Liberty Watch is Nevada's only conservative magazine, reader-based, with an eye to the bottom line, discussing Nevada's pressing issues. Firebrand George Harris speaks his mind, along with syndicated writers Joe Sobrand, Walter Williams, and John Stossel. You'll meet financial expert Doug French and ride along with Senator Bob Beers in his travelogue column, On the Road, Money Matters, Book, Wine, and Dining Reviews. There's that and much more to come. Subscribe today and see for yourself. Remember, Liberty Watch Magazine, for today's Nevada.
Item 29 was held, so that brings us to item 30, which is related to 31 and 32 and can be heard together if the commission wishes.
Items 30, 31, and 32 have been called for. Is there any discussion on those items from the commission?
Yeah. Hey, Roy. It'd really mean a lot to me if we could put to motion item 30. It's my favorite, personal favorite.
There's an easier way inside local politics. Las Vegas Review-Journal. Get inside.
My family started this business 27 years ago.
We work hard to serve our customers and our community.
But it's getting harder and harder to keep the doors open.
For example, our workers' comp is going through the roof.
Isn't anyone on my side anymore?
The Retail Association of Nevada is. If you're a small business owner, we can cut your workers' comp by up to 50%, lobby for your interests, and keep you informed. Put us to work today.
When making your decision as where to play golf, consider the resort at Red Hawk. You know you have made the right choice the moment you arrive. The friendly staff welcomes you to our award-winning pro shop. You know you've made the right decision on the first tee. The lake's course is in the best condition in years. You know you've made the right choice after you've played 18 holes. The resort at Red Hawk, the right choice.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And we welcome back to the program State Treasurer Brian Krolicki, who is now candidate for lieutenant governor, coming through a tough primary.
Good morning, Sam.
Thanks for being here, Brian. Now, we know now with the Nevada Supreme Court decision last week that TASC is not going to be on the upcoming ballot. But let's say Senator Bob Beers introduces it as a piece of legislation in Carson City. Let's say you're elected. And let's say hypothetically that the Senate is tied on how on their vote for TASC, and you're going to be the person casting that tiebreaker. How are you going to vote for that?
Well, first of all, I'd love to have that tie-breaking vote, but that's not how the Nevada Senate works. You have procedural discretion in ties, but not on something like that. Something I'd love to speak to Senator Raggio about and others. But I've opposed TASC for the last, you know, since the campaign started. I appreciate some of the principles in it greatly, but just putting that kind of complexity in the Constitution, I just felt was inappropriate. You know, I'm at the heart of the financial operation of the state. I know how it all works, and I know the flexibility you need. And well-intentioned or not, I just felt that the flexibility the state needed in these financial matters made TASC a scary proposition for Nevada. Okay.
During the Republican debate that we had on the program here, you spoke of at your own expense going to the Far East. What did you learn from the Far East that you would put into the lieutenant governor's job?
Nevada is our campaign slogan, wide open, but the opportunities are wide open for Nevada in the Far East. I'd like to see Nevada be even more of a gateway to the Far East, China in particular. They obviously have a lot of affection for our state, and with all of the challenges, if you will, if that's a nice way to say, the situation in California from taxing and regulatory environments and other things that they have to do, Nevada can easily be the port of entry, whether it's commerce or people, tourism or economic development. And that trade and visits would go both ways. So McCarran Airport, up here we already are the backup flights for some of the Far East flights. If San Francisco's fogged in, we need to grow that. But the Ivanpah Airport that's going in southern Nevada is huge, and that's something that's going to be viable within a decade or so, and that's the kind of vision we need to make sure that we're using these resources, the industrial parks, again, to be the gateway of commerce for the Far East here in the western United States. Nevada absolutely has a dominant ability here to play that role, and we need to make sure that we do. And meeting the people in China, whether the government officials, the business officials, the tourism officials, the airline officials, those are all the people who can make that happen with us.
Okay, just a quick follow-up here. Rossi Rollincotter from the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority said on this program that over the next 10 to 15 years that China and India would be the main sources of new people coming to Nevada. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. You know, China is a maturing business for Nevada in terms of the state operations and the convention authorities. I mean, they do a marvelous job. But, you know, India is a market of a billion, just a billion. China's a billion four, but a billion people in India, same aspects and a very similar outlook. I mean, look at the things that we already do in terms of technology, factories and productions. I mean, there's a way to utilize that relationship, and we need to be going to India next.
So in the most recent RGJ poll that just came out, you've got a 14% lead, and that seems pretty comfortable. Is there anything that you're expecting? So is there, I guess, in that way, when you have a Democratic candidate who's openly saying that he's still fundraising and not campaigning, how does that fit into your campaign strategy between here and November?
Well, Mr. Unger discusses fundraising, but for him it's also a matter of going to his desk drawer and pulling out the checkbook. So he has self-funded in the primary and has already done some of that activity in this. So again, I'd like to get his definition of fundraising. But you know, for we're going to run like we're 14 points behind, 20 points behind. You know, this thing, the process, the issues, I mean, even in the primary, you know, the issues that helped determine the outcome of my race, I would have never envisioned to be issues, you know, a month before I filed for office. So anything can happen. We're going to work our hearts out. We hope the equity we have around the state with the people and institutions and companies will really serve us well. But it's going to be a bruising battle throughout the ticket, and certainly the lieutenant governor's race is
part of that. Now, Mr. Unger is saying that he hasn't done any messaging yet. Do you have any plans to force him to get out there with any specifics about what his message is or what he would plan to do with the office?
No, absolutely, but I still, he was on television in a primary, so I'm not sure what he was doing if it wasn't a message. You know, he's talking about himself. He, you know, he's talking about issues. I just hope that our campaign, and I believe this will be the case, we've agreed to do some conversations, including, I hope, on your show next month, but to talk about the real issues of the portfolio of the lieutenant governor. You know, that's how we need, people of Nevada need to make this decision, because it's an important one, and I look forward to speaking about the issues with Mr. Unger.
Well, and we certainly are offering it up for a debate on the program here, as we've done in the primary. You had to spend a lot of money. You ran against a very, very well-financed campaign, and it was a brutal campaign, to say the least. How difficult has it been to start rebuilding your war chest?
We're doing just fine. You know, the people who supported us, you know, a year ago are still supporting us. You know, money's always going to be problematic in campaigns. I mean, there's got to be some better way, but I'm not aware of it today. But people have been very supportive. Again, we've been able to raise seven figures. Mr. Unger has the same challenge unless he's using his personal checkbook, and I hope he lets the system work, and you know, those supporters who wish to help him can do so financially, and you know, that's how this should work, and I hope that's the case. But we'll be fine, and we'll be getting our message out, and again, we're going to have a spirited campaign, I'm sure.
And a spirited debate right here on Nevada Newsmakers. Thanks so much for being here. We'll be right back after this timeout.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
The Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center is proud to announce it has been designated a foreign trade zone. What does that mean for you? Well, bring your product to TRI duty-free. Manufacture it, store it, sell it, and then only pay the taxes when you deliver it to your customer. Welcome to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the largest industrial park in the world, building economic prosperity for Nevada.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
For a hole in your roof or a whole new roof, the folks at Van Dyne Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
Debbie, who do you use for workers' comp? Bob and I are paying a fortune and the service is terrible.
Ever since Jerry and I've been building homes, we've used Pro Group. Come to think of it, they haven't raised our rates in 10 years. They've done background checks for us and safety training. We've saved a lot of money.
Well, Bob just added more trucks and drivers, and I think it's time for a change. I'm going to call Pro Group today. Okay, spot me.
Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And we have a great Power Pundit panel as always. Political activist Martha Gould is here, Frank Robertson, political consultant, and Dale Urquiaga, who is with a company called Consensus. Welcome, all of you.
Thank you.
All
right, welcome. Well, the Las Vegas Chamber of Commerce just released its endorsements, and it actually ended up endorsing some Democratic candidates. And I was wondering if that was a surprise to you folks.
Not particularly.
No?
Especially as I'm nonpartisan now.
Oh, okay.
This is Nevada. I don't think party labels matter as much, even to a business organization.
All right.
I think it's important for them to look at the whole slate of candidates, Republicans and Democrats, and endorse down the line.
I think historically, whether you're an R or a D, Nevadans have always voted for the person more than for the party.
Okay.
So I'm not surprised.
So you think that they just really like Catherine Cortez Masto as a person, and it doesn't really say anything about their...
It doesn't say anything about her
candidate or her opposition or she's running against?
Yeah, pragmatic maybe, yes, but the bottom line is it's somewhat pleasing to me that there seems to be a move, small move, toward looking at the qualifications of a candidate as to whether or not they're a Democrat or a Republican or an ipso facto or an alien. So I was not surprised, and I was somewhat pleased.
Okay.
Let's talk about the Supreme Court here. In a Sean Whaley story from the Review Journal today, Don Cher is confident that PISTOL, the People's Initiative to Stop the Taking of Our Land initiative, is legal, but the Supreme Court's been asked for reconsideration. Dale, do you think that that's going to happen, that they're going to now take it off the ballot?
I think the court will not revisit its decision. I mean, they made a very complicated series of decisions there dealing with these ballot measures. I don't think they're going to go back and look at that. And as somebody who used to work in election administration, I hope they leave it alone. I mean, we have ballots that need to be printed.
I have to agree with Dale. I don't think the Supreme Court's going to revisit it. They've done their homework. They've made their decision, and I think it's going to stand.
I agree. It'll stay on. Though it's interesting that the Supreme Court did revisit a decision they made in 2003.
Gwynne versus legislature.
Mm-hmm.
And Erin Neff, writing also in the Review Journal, said that earlier in the week that she had felt that the Nevada Supreme Court wasn't acting politically, and now she feels that it is.
I don't think anything in the state of Nevada is anything but political.
So down in southern Nevada, once again, Tessa Hafen is being attacked because she lived and when she worked in Virginia, she was voting for back here in Nevada, and the Republican Party is kind of making a big stink about this. Do you think that this is something that the voters will sincerely care about, or do you think this is just mudslinging starting early in the campaign?
It's mudslinging starting early. If you look at people who are in Congress, they live in Washington, D.C., but they're home happens to be in their home state, and they vote in their home state. So why do they attack Tessa? Because she may have worked in Washington, but if her home was still her legal residence was in Nevada? Come on, let's...
So you think this will just be a one-headline type of thing? And
well, I just think it shows the type of campaigning that's going on. God forbid that we should talk about issues.
Do you think it's a desperate reach if they can't get anything else on her, kind of like a Teflon thing, let's throw everything up there and see what sticks?
And what we need to do is have candidates who talk about issues, because there are enormous issues, not only facing the state of Nevada, but facing our country.
So, Dale, why do you think that campaigns, for the most part, don't talk about the issues?
Well, you know, because of people like you in the news.
He meant that in a nice way,
I mean,
right?
In the nicest possible way. We live in a society that's all about grabbing headlines, and sometimes issues are very difficult to explain in 30 seconds or less for television, or they're difficult to explain before the story jumps to the inside of the newspaper. So campaigns are driven by news coverage, and unfortunately that leads them to quick, easy-to-understand attacks or issues. Residency is an issue. Tessa's residency probably is not a concern, but residency comes up a lot in campaigns. It's something people do understand. I know where I live versus where I don't live. I may not understand the complexities of border security or a war in Iraq. So I'm going to say it's your fault.
Well, you know, actually, I would take responsibility for that, but on this program, we actually allow people, you know, in 12-minute chunks in the bigger races to come on the program and talk about the issues, and we do try our best to stick with the issues, and I think in that campaign, it would be very healthy for there to be a discussion of what's going on in this country right now and our situation around the world.
I'm sure there is.
Thank you for that slur anyway. You're welcome back anytime, Frank.
It is nice to see, though, that the state party chairman is focusing on Democrats now instead of folks in his own party. As a Republican, I was really set aside by that the whole cycle. He seemed to be more divisive in the party, but now it seems he's focusing on Democrats, so that's a good thing.
You know, it's an interesting situation. How much longer can Paul Adams last is the big question.
I tell you what, he's done more dividing of the party, and fundraising is low. They were almost broke, and we have candidates, but he needs to be out recruiting candidates and raising money.
What do you think it says about his position now that Senator Bob Beers has been appointed to this? What is it? Vote Republican 2006. Victory 2006.
Right. Well, I go back to
be less visible.
Mention what Martha said earlier. Nevada is all politics, and that decision there is a political one, and
it's a very smart one too. Would
it's
you
a
say?
Very smart one.
It
very
may
smart.
Be a very smart one, but I have to tell you that they may be underestimating the voters.
In terms of.
Well, in terms of the fact that they did something that was very political, and, you know, one month they're tearing each other apart, and the next month it's kissy-kissy.
But you know what? Republicans have done a great job of coming together for the most part after this very brutal primary, and
true.
The day afterwards you had all of the leading conservatives coming behind Jim Gibbons, and now seeing Bob Beers come into this chairmanship position shores up the whole party.
I still think that this gubernatorial campaign is going to be a horse race, and it's going to be down to the wire. And whoever wins, it will be by the nose.
And that's where we got to leave it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this.
Nevada Newsmakers, brought to you in part by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Whether you're buying or selling your home, give Marilyn Miner a call at Dixon Realty. A native Nevadan who knows the area, Marilyn is someone you can trust to get you the best real estate value.
Hi, I'm Marilyn Miner. I love the Truckee Meadows. I've raised my children here, and I'd be complimented to help you buy or sell your home.
To find out the value of your home, call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty today, 742-1280.
This week, you can win a 50-inch big-screen TV. Drive away with just $90 down. No payments for 90 days. And buy a car for just $799. But it's only at the Giant Disposal Sale. For 3 days only at Michael Holt Subaru in Carson City. You heard right. For 3 days only this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, look for the insert in the Reno Gazette Journal or Nevada Appeal. And win a 50-inch big-screen TV at Michael Holt Subaru. It's the largest used car and truck disposal sale of the year. And it's only at Michael Holt Subaru in Carson City.
South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends is the Tamarack Junction. Play over 480 of the hottest slots and video poker games. Enjoy hot times and sizzling food specials at Sully's Sports Bar, Grill, and Nightclub. Watch your favorite game on one of our jumbo high-definition plasma TVs. Enjoy great food 24 hours a day in the dining car restaurant. Or sample the best hot and cold sandwiches in the Whistle Stop Deli. The Tamarack Junction is your junction for fun. South Virginia and Amati Ranch Parkway.
Yeah.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. If you've got a video iPod and you want great free programming, you can get Nevada Newsmakers from iTunes. Coming up next week.
And join us next week where we've got a contentious debate between Kermit Waters and Bill Brainerd over the Public Domain Initiative.
And it'll be a very interesting show, trust me. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week.